When I was a few weeks ago, I was thinking about what I'd like to bring to you, and I felt God saying, well, actually, I'd quite like you to talk about Mary a little bit. And I thought, oh, can't we don't talk about Mary? And I was a little bit concerned, because Mary is a wonderful example, but we often are a little bit leery sometimes of talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. But I felt that it was something that God wanted me to talk about today, and actually how Mary was such an example. And I didn't know that you were going to be talking about Mary today, but I want to read you from Luke chapter 1 verse 26 to 38, and it says this. It's Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now, we're all very familiar with those verses, aren't we? We've heard them. I've heard them hundreds of times. And I kind of imagine that I look Mary up on Wikipedia. You do, don't you? You need to know anything, you look up Wikipedia. And there's not a lot known about Mary, but we do know she was very young. This was a very young girl. She was probably, I don't know, about my youngest daughter's age, about 14, 15. Very, very young. And this angel turns up and he says, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." That's how it comes out in the Amplified. And this young girl is favoured, highly favoured by God. And it made me think about how God's criteria for favour is nothing like what the world's is. This little girl had never held a high office, as far as we know. She wasn't super talented, super intelligent. She wasn't. She certainly didn't have her own Instagram account. I'm fairly sure of that. And this angel comes and says that she is highly favoured and God is with her. And I found that really encouraging, because it made me think that we see ourselves and we think, well, we maybe look back and think, what have we done? We're not hugely famous. Maybe we don't feel that we've perhaps used our life to the fullest potential of what we could have done. But we can take heart in the fact that Mary was highly favoured of God. And God doesn't care how many likes we've got on Facebook. He doesn't care, what we look like. His criteria for favour is vastly different. And actually, that made me think about Jesus, because, you know, she was going to give birth to the saviour of the world. And Jesus was a carpenter. He could have been anything, couldn't he? We know he didn't start his ministry till he was 30. So he spent a good bit of time being a carpenter. He didn't even go off and become, you know, a Pharisee or, you know, become a massive academic. Obviously, he knew the scriptures, but he just did a simple job. And I love in the Amplified, it says this. Let me get my glasses so I can see it. I don't know about you, but I've often noticed with God that he puts Bible verses in that I've never seen before. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah. Well, that wasn't there before. In the Amplified, verse 29, it says, Mary was greatly perplexed at what he said and kept carefully considering what kind of greeting this was. And I can kind of imagine, you know, she sees this gigantic angel and he says, greetings, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. And she's kind of, who, me? She's looking, she thinks perhaps it's someone behind her. She can't, it must have been amazing to her to think that this was, this amazing being had been sent to her. And I wonder with us sometimes if we can be the same. We know really that in our own strength, we can't achieve a great deal. But we were never designed to, were we? We were always designed to have that presence of God with us. And somebody said in church the other day, and I thought it was really important, they said, if you cannot feel God's presence, that does not mean his absence. And we need to remember that sometimes, because we can go through life and the day-to-day comes on and we've got this to do and we've got that to do and we've got this to buy and I've got to get the turkey and the present for Auntie June, and we can lose that sense, particularly at this time of year, of the holiness of the Son of God coming to earth. And what's amazing about Mary is she just calmly accepts the situation. She was greatly perplexed, but then she said, I'm the Lord's servant, may it be as you've said. She accepted God's will for her life. When the angels went and saw the shepherds, they said, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Now, I always thought it had said peace and goodwill to all men, but I looked it up in lots and lots of different translations, and it all said roughly the same thing. Peace on those that God favours, essentially, was the, you know, the theme running through all the translations. And the truth is that God wants his people to know peace. God wants his people to know peace, to have peace. When Jesus was here, he said this in John chapter 14, verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, if anyone had good reason to be afraid and troubled, I would think it would be Mary. They knew the Messiah was coming. She would have known about that from birth, that they were awaiting the Messiah. It was steeped in their culture. And suddenly she is told that she's not only going to have a baby, but the baby is going to be this long-awaited Messiah. And how do you deal with a responsibility like that? How do you cope with something like that? The only way you're going to be able to keep your peace is if you trust in God, that he will help you in that situation. They say that there is, fear not is said 365 times in the Bible, one for each day of the week. God wants us to have peace, and he wants us not to be afraid. And the truth is that nothing is worth anything if we don't have peace. You can't buy peace. People try and find peace in a drug, but the drug wears off. People think, if I just have this much money, or I get this much fame, or if I get this job, I'll be happy. I'll have peace. I'll be content. And yet always it seems that you just need that little bit extra, little bit more. It's always just one step ahead. But the peace that God gives, it doesn't come from our circumstances. The joy that God gives doesn't come from our circumstances. I can't remember where it is exactly. I think it's in a psalm, but it talks about God's people being like a well in a sun-scorched land. Our peace, our joy, our contentment, our strength all come from God. They don't come from the environment around us. And when we begin to understand how important peace is, we start to make it a priority. If you don't, Joyce Meyer says a few things. One of them was that if you don't remain peaceful, your gifts won't flow. And if you don't remain peaceful, it's hard to know God. And that is so true. I know when I go and speak places, and my family laugh at me because I'll be at home going to my husband, why'd you let me do this? Why'd you let me do this? Why'd you let me do this? He's like, you'll be fine. No, I'm not. The other week, my daughter was absolutely, she was bent over laughing because I had to speak at a church and it was quite a big church. And I went, I can't speak. I'm a blithering idiot. My 14-year-old, she's just laughing. And my husband's going, no, don't worry, you'll be fine. But the truth is that I couldn't do this. I couldn't do really a great deal of anything without God's help. And actually, neither can anyone else. And we're not designed to, so that's fine. It says, without me, you can do nothing. And that's sometimes perhaps worth remembering as well when life comes up and tells you that you can't do something. I had a meeting with my doctor last week where he said to me, well, you can do this, that and the other. He said, but you're never going to live a normal life. You're never going to be well, and people don't recover from what you have. Well, I'm here. You know, I'm here, and I'm here by the grace of God and the strength of God. And if you ask me again, I'll probably turn up another time. Well, in fact, I am. I'm booked in two more times. But I know I couldn't do it without God's help. And sometimes I think we need to remember that when the world tells us that we can't do something, or the doctor tells us that we can't do something, or you look at yourself and you say, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, I'm not clever enough, I'm too ill. I said that to God once, said, I can't do that, I'm too ill. He went, do it sick. He didn't even say, well, I'll heal you, my child. He went, well, do it ill. And sometimes we have to take what we've got. We have to work with it, and God makes it enough. A little bit like, you know, all those thousands of people waiting to be fed, two loaves and was it five fish, or is it the other way around? I get confused.
Five
loaves. Yeah, and it goes round. There's enough, 12 baskets left over. And that's what God does with us. He takes people that are not good enough and he makes them good enough. I love that about God. I don't know about you, but I really love that. But if you haven't got that peace inside of you, it's very, very hard to feel that presence of God, and even to take the steps when you can't feel the presence of God, but you just know he's there anyway. So we need to do what we have to have peace in our hearts, in our lives, and in our homes. And I found, as a chronically unwell person, that the key to my peace and my strength is actually only doing what God's asked me to do, any one of us here could spend every hour of every day doing the most wonderful things, good things that would help people. But they may not all be what God has actually asked us to do. So when we do them in our own strength. And that's often a sign when you're frazzled. When you're frazzled, that can be a very good sign, and you've lost your peace, that you're doing things in your own strength. And sometimes when we do that, when we pick up the slack around us, we actually deny other people the opportunity of coming forward and helping. And sometimes they don't kind of step in until the last second. But that's kind of how we're brought up in the church, isn't it? Oh, you know, somebody's got to do it, so I'll do it. But I'm not always sure that's the best way forward. We're created in a certain way to do certain things. And we can lose our peace if we try and go beyond what God has asked us to do. And this might mean changing your schedule. This might mean looking at your life, with the people that you spend it with, and making some adjustments. I did something, and I found it really useful last week, which was I wrote a list of all the things in my life that give me peace. And there were things like spending time with my family and writing stories and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I wrote a list of the things that don't give me peace. And I found it was really helpful to work out where I was supposed to be spending my time. Now, sometimes God takes us into places that make us uncomfortable, that are difficult. But he doesn't take us into places where we will not have his peace. So sometimes we have to learn to say no to people and to things. We can do it nicely. And sometimes life comes along and it throws us a curveball and we don't expect it. And that comes along and we're like, oh my goodness, what do I do now? And Joyce Meyer said, you cannot rebuke the storms in your life if you have a storm inside of you. And I thought that was good. We need to approach our lives from a place of peace. And to be honest, in the world we live in now, it's very hard to have peace. The people around us are often deeply troubled, deeply troubled. And it's very hard to help people when you yourself are being tossed and turned around by what is going on in our own hearts. We need that peace. So we shouldn't view peace as a luxury. I think we can sometimes. We think, peace is nice when I can get it. But peace actually for a Christian is a necessity. We can be very busy and still be peaceful. We can be quiet and be peaceful. I know people that can't sit still. They have to be busy all the time. And the reason they have to be busy all the time is because they cannot bear their own thoughts. But that is not what we are called to as Christians. We are called to peace. And peace begets peace. Got a lot of begatting going on in the Bible, haven't we? Screams of begatting going on. You know, this person begat that person. Peace begets peace. When you have peace here, sorry, microphone, it starts to go out to the people around us, to our situations. Now, if somebody that you know isn't peaceful, doesn't want to be peaceful, that's okay. They don't need to take your peace. If somebody wants to be negative and unkind, that's their choice. But we don't need to lose our joy and our peace. So where do we get our peace from? I think our peace comes from day to day walking with Jesus, spending time with him. He says, it's my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. So Jesus is the source of our peace. So we need to spend time with him. We need to spend time talking with him. We need to spend time reading his word and obeying his commands. Mary was obedient to the will of God, wasn't she? And it must have cost her dear, because she saw her own son killed. And we don't know whether she was peaceful in the face of that or not, but she knew that God had a plan. She knew that life wasn't always going to be easy. But she knew that each step God would walk with her. And that is, I think, a key to her peace, and it should be ours. That whatever we go through, God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.